Roger, Eagle, send dot.
Roger, how does it look?
The Eagle has wings.
Roger.
Looking good.
Roger, Neil, we got a, if you give us poo and data, we got the loads for you.
We are now coming up on 30 seconds to acquisition of the command module. We'll stand by for that event.
Columbia, Houston, over.
Houston, Columbia, reading you loud and clear, how may?
Roger, bye-bye, Mike. How did it go, over?
Listen, baby, everything's going just swimmingly. Beautiful.
Great. We're standing by for Eagle.
Okay, he's coming along.
We copy out.
Good Eagle, how do you read?
Bye-bye, Eagle. We're standing by for your burn report, over.
Roger, the burn was on time. The residuals before nulling, -0.1, -0.4, -0.1, X and Z null to zero.
Eagle, Houston, we read you now. You're a go for PDI, over.
Roger, understand. Lights on. One, zero, ignition 10%.
That's 20 seconds, everything looking good. We show altitude about 47,000 feet. Good radar data, altitude now 33,500 feet. We're still go, altitude 27,000 feet.
Same alarm, and it appears to come up when we have a 1668 up.
Roger, copy. Eagle, Houston, we'll monitor
that's
your Delta 8.
Down beautifully.
Delta 8
looks look good now.
Roger, Delta 8 is looking good to us.
Wow. Throttle down on time.
Roger, copy, throttle down.
Throttle down. Set him in the simulator.
Roger.
Eggs and things look real close.
Altitude now 21,000 feet, still looking very good. Velocity down now to 1,200 feet per second.
You're looking great to us, Eagle.
Okay, I'm still on flu, so we may tend to lose as we gradually pitch over. Let me try auto again now, see what happens.
Roger.
Okay, looks like it's holding.
Roger, we got good data. We're go, same type, we're go.
2,000 feet, into the ag, 47 degrees.
Roger.
47 degrees.
Eagle looking great, your go.
Altitude 1,600. 1,400 feet, still looking very good.
Roger, 1202, we copy it.
35 degrees. 35 degrees, 750, coming down to 23. 700 feet, 21 down, 33 degrees. 100 feet down to 19. 540 feet down to 30, down to 15. And 400 feet down at 9. Gate forward. 1050 feet down at 4. 30, 3.5 down. They're pegged on horizontal velocity. 300 feet down 3.5. 47 forward. Hold up. on 1 and a half down. 70. Down at 2.5. 19 forward. Altitude, velocity, light. 3.5 down. 220 feet. 13 forward. 11 forward, coming down nicely. 200 feet. 4.5 down. 5.5 down. 160 feet. 6.5 down. 5.5 down. 9 forward. Good. 20 feet. 100 feet, 3.5 down, 9 forward. 5%. 185. Okay, 75 feet. Starts looking good, down a half. 6 forward.
60 seconds.
Lights on. Down 2.5. Forward. Forward. Good. 40 feet down 2.5. Picking up some dust. 30 feet, 2.5 down. Great shadow. 4 forward. 4 forward. Drifting to the right a little. 20, down a half.
30 seconds.
Forward. Good. Okay. Contact light. Okay, engine stop. APA at a descent.
Auto
descent. Mode control both, auto descent, engine command override off. Engine arm off. 413 is in.
We copy you down, Eagle.
Listen, Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
Roger, Tranquility, we copy you on the ground. You got a bunch of guys about to turn blue. We're breathing again. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
You're looking good here.
Okay, we're going to be busy for a minute.
After I'm on, take care of the defense. I'll get the sucker prepared. Okay, it looks like we're vending the oxidizer now.
Roger, Eagle, and you are stay for T1. Over. Eagle, you are stay for T1.
Roger.
And we
see him stay for T1.
Roger, and we see you venting the ox.
Neil Armstrong reporting there, no difficulty adapting to the 1/6 gravity of the moon.
Window is a relatively level plane cratered with a fairly large number of craters of the 5 to 50 foot variety, and some ridges, small 20, 30 feet high, I would guess, and literally thousands of little 1 and 2 foot craters around the area. We see some angular blocks out several hundred feet in front of us that are probably 2 feet in size and have angular edges. There is a hill in view just about on the ground track ahead of us. Difficult to estimate, but might be a half a mile or a mile.
Roger, Tranquility, we copy, over.
Houston, the Mesa came down, all right.
Houston, Roger, we copy, and we're standing by for your TED. Houston, loud and clear. Break, break. Buzz, this is Houston. Radio check and verify TV circuit breaker in.
Roger, TV circuit breaker's in. Base 5 clear.
Roger. And we're getting a picture on the TV.
Okay. You got a good picture, huh?
There's a great deal of contrast in it, and currently it's upside down on our monitor, but we can make out a fair amount of detail.
Okay, would you verify the position the opening I ought to have on the camera?
Stand by. Okay, Neil, we can see you coming down the ladder now.
Okay, I just checked getting back up to that first step. It hasn't collapsed too far, but it's adequate to get back up.
Roger, we copy.
It's a pretty good little jump.
Buzz, this is Houston, F2, 1/160th second for shadow photography on the sequence camera.
Okay. I'm at the foot of the ladder. The LAM footbeds are only depressed in the surface about 1 or 2 inches, although the surface appears to be very fine-grained as you get close to it. It's almost like a powder. Ground mass is very fine. Yeah, I'm going to step off the limb now. One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. The surface is fine and powdery. I can pick it up loosely with my toe. It does adhere in fine layers, powdered charcoal to the sole and sides of my boot.
Being sure not to lock it on my way out.
Particularly good thought.
That's our home for the next couple of hours. We want to take good care of it. Okay, I'm on the top step, and I can look down over the RCU and landing gear pad. It's a very simple matter to hop down from one step to the next.
Yes, I found it to be very comfortable, and walking is also very comfortable. You've got 3 more steps, and then a long one. Each of the two hemispheres of Earth.
Underneath it says, "Dear men from the planet Earth, first set foot upon the moon, July 1969, AD. It came in peace for all mankind. It has the crew members' signatures and the signature of the President of the United States."
Tranquility Base, this is Houston. Can we get both of you on the camera for a minute, please?
Houston.
Roger, we'd like to get both of you in the field of view of the camera for a minute.
Roger, we'd like to get both of you in the field of view of the camera for a
minute. Neil and Buzz, the President of the United States is in his office now and would like to say a few words to you, over.
Would be an honor.
Go ahead, Mr. President. This is Houston out.
Hello, Neil and Buzz. I'm talking to you by telephone from the Oval Room at the White House, and this certainly has to be the most historic telephone call ever made. I just can't tell you how proud we all are of what you do. For every American, this has to be the proudest day of our lives, and for people all over the world, I am sure they too join with America in recognizing what an immense feat this is. Because of what you have done, the heavens have become a part of man's world. And as you talk to us from the Sea of Tranquility, it inspires us to redouble our efforts to bring peace and tranquility to Earth. For one priceless moment in the whole history of man, all the people on this Earth are truly one. One in their pride in what you have done, and one in our prayers that you will return safely to Earth.
Thank you, Mr. President. It's a great honor and privilege for us to be here representing not only the United States, but and of peace of all nations, and with interest and a curiosity and with a vision for the future. Honor for us to be able to participate here today.
And thank you very much, and I look forward, all of us look forward to seeing you on the Hornet on Thursday.
Look forward to that very much, sir. I'm bumping now.
Now you're clear. You're rubbing up against me a little bit.
Okay.
All right. That's right. Left. Okay. Now move your foot and I'll get the hatch.
Columbia, Columbia, this is Houston, over.
Roger, Columbia, NC Charlie, how do you read?
Roger, Columbia, this is Houston, reading you loud and clear on Omni Charlie. The crew of Tranquility Base is back inside their base, repressurized, and they're in the process of doffing the plisses. Everything went beautifully, over. And we'd like to get Pooh and Accept from you. We have a state vector uplink, and after that, we'd like you to realign your platform to the new refs mat that we sent up a rev or two ago. Over.
All right, I understand. You want a option one, option two, option one.
This is Apollo Control. Dr. Charles Berry reports the heart rates during this EVA period ranged from a low of 90 for both crewmen to a high of about 125 for Buzz Aldrin at peak periods, and a high of 160 for Neil Armstrong at peak periods. That top reading coming during the time he was transferring the rock boxes into the limb. Dr. Berry says the data they got indicates Neil was working very hard at that time.
Tranquility Base, this is Houston, over.
Houston, Tranquility Base, go ahead.
Well, Roger, when you all have a free moment, I have your T8 through T12 block data, over.
Houston, Tranquility Base, ready to copy.
Roger, Tranquility. T8, 114-3057. T9er, 116-29-10. T10, 118-27-23. T11, 120-2536. T12, 122-2349. Read back, over.
Roger, T8, 114-3057. T9, 116-29-10. T10, 118-2723. T11, 120-2536. T12, 122-2349. Over.
Read back correct. Houston out. Columbia, this is Houston, over.
Come in to high gain.
Roger, reading you loud and clear on the high gain, Columbia.
Roger. Covering the P-52 attitude, you want to cruise status report?
Say again, Columbia. Roger, and go ahead with your crew status report.
Roger, no medication, radiation 100.16.
Houston, we copy.
Houston, Tranquility Base.
Go ahead, Tranquility.
Roger. The weight of the RCU was 12 ounces. That was by itself without the bag. And the weight of the water from the CDR's cliff was 12 and a half ounces. That's reading zero with the bag on.
This is Houston, we copy. And for your information, the new LEM weight after jettison of equipment, including lithium hydroxide canister, is 10837. Over.
Okay, 10837.
Tranquility Base, this is Houston. In the flight plan configuration, we show that the stability control circuit breaker, ATCA, on panel 16 should be open at this time. Over.
Houston, Tranquility, say again, which one should be closed?
Roger, panel 16, row 2, stab control, ATCA, that is ATCA, and it should be open at this time. Over.
Roger, coming open.
Roger out.
Houston, Tranquility, do you have a way of showing the configuration of the engine arm circuit breaker? Over. The reason I'm asking is because the end of it appears to be broken off. I think we can push it back in again. I'm not sure we could pull it out if we pushed it in now. Over.
Roger, we copy. Stand by, please. Tranquility Base, this is Houston. Our telemetry shows the engine arm circuit breaker in the open position at the present time. We want you to leave it open until it is nominally scheduled to be pushed in, which is later on. Over.
Roger, copy.
Houston, Tranquility Base, CDR's PRD reads 11014.
Roger, 11014 for the CDR.
Roger, LMB reads 09018. Over.
Roger, 09018.
This is Apollo Control. Dr. Barry reports those dosimeter readings have not changed since yesterday afternoon, indicating that the crew was not subject to radiation on the surface of the moon, or if any, a very negligible amount.
Houston, Columbia, over.
Columbia, this is Houston. Go ahead.
Roger, Bruce. When you get a few minutes, could you give me some words on tomorrow's activities, when they're going to start?
Roger. Columbia, Columbia, this is Houston, over. Columbia, this is Houston, over. Roger, Mike. A couple of quick flight plan updates here. First off, we'd like to get an O2 fuel cell purge at time 1:13:30. Are you copying? Over.
Roger, I'm copying.
Secondly, we will return to the nominal timeline with your scheduled wake-up of 1:21 hours and 12 minutes. We sort of slipped by lithium hydroxide canister change number 9 during the EVA and EVA prep. We'd like you to accomplish that now. The comm for sleep will be the normal lunar comm configuration. The RCS configuration, we're requesting you use quads Alpha and Bravo. A DAP data load for R2 should be 01111. Read back, over. Columbia, this is Houston. On your DAP load in R2, we're requesting a 0 and 4 ones. That is 01111. Over.
Okay.
And you.
Load's going in right now.
Roger, and you'll be enabling quads Alpha and Bravo on the auto RCS select, which is disable Charlie and Delta. In 2 minutes to LOS. If you're still up, ALS next time around will be 1:14:04. Over.
Roger.
And Columbia, if it's agreeable with you, we'd like you to stay awake until we have one successful reacquisition on the high gain antenna, and I guess you can plan on turning in shortly after AOS and its next pass. Over.
Okay.
Roger out. Tranquility Base, this is Houston, radio check, over.
Go ahead, Houston.
Roger, reading you loud and clear, just wanted to make sure we still had comm.
Roger, we've just finishing up our aim period, be ready to go back into prep for deep rest.
Roger.
This is Apollo Control, 113 hours, 18 minutes. We have had loss of signal from Columbia. We've asked Mike Collins to stay awake through acquisition on the next rev, which will be number 20, so that we can check the automatic acquisition mode of the high-gain antenna. Once we've verified that, he will start his rest period. Planned wake-up for the command module pilot, 121 hours. This Apollo Control, we're estimating the change of shift news briefing for 2 a.m. Central Daylight Time. 2 a.m. Central Daylight Time for the change of shift briefing. Now, this is Apollo Control at 113 hours, 29 minutes. The change of shift news briefing is about to start. We will tape any air ground transmissions during this period for playback after the briefing. If the equipment jettisoning occurs during the briefing, we will come back up and provide that for you live.
Base, this is Houston, over.
Roger, go ahead, Houston.
Roger, on your next depressurization, it's acceptable to use the overhead hatch dump valve in addition to or instead of the forward hatch dump valve to speed up the depressurization of the cabin. I have a T-13 update for you, and if you could sometime here give us poo and data, we'll uplink you a new CSM state vector, over.
All right. You've got the disky.
Roger, your T-13 time is 124.2202, over.
Roger, T-13, 124.22, is that 02, over?
That's affirmative, that is 02. And do you have a time estimate for us until you're ready to start cabin depress, over?
15 minutes, maybe.
Roger. Tranquility Base, this is Houston. Uplink complete. The computer is yours, and you can go out of data.
Roger. Go ahead, Tranquility Base here.
Roger, just want to let you guys know that since you're an hour and a half over your timeline and we're all taking a day off tomorrow, we're going to leave you. See you later.
I don't blame you a bit.
That's been a real great day, guys. We enjoyed it.
Thank you. Couldn't enjoy it as much as we did.
Roger. It was great. Sure wish you'd hurry up and get that trash out of there, though.
Yeah, we're just about to do it.
Okay.
We're live now. The Capcom voice on that last transmission was Deke Slayton, the director of flight crew operations here at MSC.
Tranquility Base, this is Houston. We show the suit relief valve still in the auto position. It should be closed, over. Columbia, this is Houston, over.
Houston, plenty, go ahead.
Roger, we've successfully reacquired high gain antenna. Unless you have some other traffic with us, I guess we'll bid you a good night and let you get some sleep, Mike, over.
Okay, sounds fine.
And we are going to power down the voice subcarrier part of our uplink to you in order that we don't disturb you while we're talking to Tranquility Base. If you need us, just give us a call and we can respond with a time lag of about a minute to a minute and a half in getting reconfigured, over.
Okay.
Roger, and good night.
tight, Bruce. Thanks, bud.
We said goodnight to Mike Collins in Columbia at 114 hours, 6 minutes. And the cabin is coming down now on Tranquility Base. It's down to about 3.5 pounds now, holding there.
Columbia, this is Houston. We'd like you to enable thrusters Bravo 1 and Bravo 2, auto RCS select, over. Roger out.
Tranquility base pressure coming on down now. 1.5 pounds.
Tranquility, this is Houston. For a reference, which dump valve are you using, over?
We used the forward dump valve until about 2 psi, and we're using the overhead now.
Roger out.
They're both open now.
Less than 0.5 pound of pressure.
Tranquility Base, this is Houston, over.
Roger, go ahead.
Roger, on your mission timer, we wanted to pull the circuit breaker and let it cool down for 1.5 to 2 hours. I believe the breaker is currently open. It has been off. So go ahead and reset the mission timer circuit breaker. Put the timer control to reset and hold it in reset for 30 seconds, and then slew it to your desired settings, left to right, and place the timer control to start, over.
Okay, we'll try it. Mission timer seems to be fluent, okay. You want to give us a time hack? Or can we get up the CMC? LGC, I mean.
Roger, Tranquility. I'll give you a time hack at 114-3100. It's about 30 seconds from now, over. Stand by for a mark at 114-31.
Okay.
Stand by. Mark. Tranquility, this is Houston. Did you copy my mark at 114-31?
Roger. Thank you, and our mission timer is running now.
Roger, very good. And I've got a consumables update for you if you're ready to copy or listen, over.
Stand by. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, RCS Alpha is 81%. RCS Bravo 75%. Coming up on 115 hours GET, descent oxygen is 31.8 pounds or 59%. Descent amp hours 858 and ascent amp hours 574. Over.
Roger, copy. Thank you very much.
Roger out. Tranquility, this is Houston. I also have a set of about 10 questions relating to observations you made, things you may have seen during the EVA. You can either discuss a little later on this evening or sometime later in the mission. That's your option. How do you feel, over?
I guess we can take a couple up now.
Okay, and your friendly green team here has pretty well been relieved by your friendly maroon team, and I'll put Owen on with the questions.
Tranquility.
Okay, thank you, Bruce. And
good. Tranquility, Houston. First question here is your best estimate of the yaw on the of the limb as compared to the nominal pre-flight plan. Over.
We got 13 degrees left on the ball, and I think that's probably about right. Looking at the shadow and so on, we're probably about 13 degrees left of the shadow.
Roger, that's 13 degrees left of the shadow. And next question relates to the depth of the bulk sampling that you obtained near the first part of the EVA, and any changes in composition that you might have observed during the bulk sampling interval. Over.
I'm not sure I understand that question, but we got a good bit of the crown mass in the bulk sample, plus a sizable number of selected rock fragments of different types.
Roger, Neil. One of the implications here is the depth from which the bulk sample was collected. Did you manage to get down several inches or nearer the surface? Over.
We've got some down from as much as 3 inches in the area where I was looking at the variation with depth in the bulk sample. There really wasn't appreciable difference, and I didn't run into any hard band. Later on, or at some other times in other areas, why I'd get down just a short distance, an inch or two, and couldn't go any further.
Roger, I believe we understand down as deep as 3 inches, did not hit any hard bed, and no significant changes in composition to that depth. Next question, second SRC was packed rather hurriedly due to the time limitation, and I wonder if you would be able to provide any more detailed description of the samples which were included in the second SRC. Over.
We got two core tubes and a solar wind and about half of a big sample bag full of assorted rocks, which I picked up hurriedly from around the area. Tried to get as many representative types as I could.
Roger, Neil. Next topic here relates to the rays which emanate from the DIPS engine burning area. We are wondering if the rays emanating from the beneath the engine are any darker or lighter than the surrounding surface. Over.
The ones that I saw back in the aft end of the spacecraft appeared to be a good bit darker, and of course viewed from the aft end where they did have the sun shining directly on them, it seemed as though the material had been baked somewhat and also scattered in a radially outward direction. But in that particular area, this feature didn't extend more than about 2, maybe 3 feet from the skirt of the engine. Over.
Roger, understand that near the aft end, out to the east, that the rays did appear darker. I understand, Buzz, that these were this was the appearance of the material which had been uncovered by the rays that appeared darker for 2 or 3 feet extending outward. Is that correct?
No, I wouldn't say it was necessarily material that had been uncovered. I think some of the material might have been baked or in some way caused to be more cohesive and perhaps flow together in some way. I don't know. Now, in other areas, before we started trampling around out in front, why, we could see that small erosion had taken place in a radially outward direction, but it had left no significant mark on the surface other than just having eroded it away. Now, it was different back in the, right under the skirt itself. It seemed as though the surface had been baked in a streaked fashion. And I think a couple pictures on film will show this, but that didn't extend out very far. Over.
Roger, Tranquility, and this baked appearance that you've described, at least the suggestion is that it was due to the heat of the engine at any rate. Next subject, did...
I believe so.
Roger. Next subject, did either of the solar panels on the PSE touch the surface of the moon during deployment? Over.
I think that the two corners did touch. Since when it was deployed, it, both of them did come out at the same time. It unfolded a little unevenly, and of course the terrain that it was on was a little bit not quite as level as I would like to have it. And I think that two corners did touch to about 1 inch or 3/4 to a 1/2 inch deep, and maybe along the bottom it might have been maybe 3 inches, leaving a small triangular coating on two of the corners, and I think these are on the western ones. Over.
Roger, understand the description there. And the next subject on the two core tubes which you collected, how did the driving force required to collect these tubes compare? Was there any difference? Over.
Not significantly. I could get down about the first 2 inches without much of a problem, and then as I would pound it in about as hard as I could do it, the second one took two hands on the hammer, and I was putting
pretty good dents in the top of the extension rod, and it just wouldn't go much more than, I think the total depth might have been about 8 or 9 inches. But even there, it didn't, for some reason, it didn't seem to want to stand up straight. In other words, I'd keep driving it in, and it would dig some sort of a hole, but it wouldn't just penetrate in a way that would support it and keep it from falling over, if that makes any sense at all. It didn't really to me. Over.
Roger, Buzz. I think I've got the picture. You indicate that a little difference between the two samples, and that in each case you got down about 2 inches without any problems, and then had to continue hammering rather vigorously in order to continue driving it into a total depth of 8 or 9 inches. And even at that point, the rods did not want to stay vertical, that they'd tend to fall over on you even after pounding in that far. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's about it. It wasn't a rapid change in resistive force. And also I noticed when I took the bit off that the material was quite well packed, a good bit darker, and it the way it adhered to the core tube gave me the distinct impression of being moist. Over.
Roger, understand the general impression of being moist as it packed in the core tube. Next question. We did copy your comments prior to the EVA of your general description of the area. We wonder if either of you would have any more lengthy description or more detailed description of the general summary of the geology of the area. Over.
Yeah, we'll postpone our answer to that one until tomorrow, okay?
Yes, indeed. That'll be fine. Just a couple more here, and I think these may not be quite as lengthy as number 7 there. Can you estimate the stroke of the primary and secondary struts? Over.
Well, I could do it like this, Owen. About all the struts are about equally stroked. And the height from the ground to the first step is about 3 feet, or maybe 3.5 feet, huh?
Roger, understand, Neil. Next topic. Just after landing, you pointed out that there was a hill to the west along the plus Z axis from the limb. Are there any large rocks in that direction that might block the solar array during the sunset? As the sunset approaches in your locality, are there any large rocks that might tend to obscure the array? Over.
I don't believe so. I think that it's about as level as any other area is, that we chose.
Roger.
There's nothing large anyway that's going to get in the way.
Roger, copy. That's also the way it appeared from the television, I think. And now the final question. You commented, Neil, that on your approach to the landing spot, you had passed over a football field-sized crater containing rather large blocks of solid rock, perhaps 10, 15 feet in size. Can you estimate the distance to this football-sized crater from your present position? Over.
I thought we'd be close enough so that when we got outside, we could see its rim back there, but I couldn't. But I don't think that we're more than a half mile beyond it. That is, a half mile west of it.
Roger. So you estimate your present position less than a half a mile approximately west of this large crater. Over.
That's correct.
Okay, well, that takes care of the questions from our geologist for tonight, and unless you have something else, that'll be all from us for the evening. Over.
Okay, thank you.